Hey kids, so in October, before the election, the Iraqi survey group filed its final report that all those U.S. generals and U.N. inspectors who were screaming that Iraq was never a threat and had no weapons of mass destruction were in fact correct. But the Bush administration, knowing it was a poison pill, failed to tell the truth to the American people and the world until this week. 3 months later! A far more convenient time for them. I believe that the biggest danger to our society and our country as a whole is ignorance and a subpar education, especially that of the current populace of Washington, D.C., compared with the rest of the world. Let me explain. I have been getting so disheartened lately. Every day I read about more widespread election fraud. Every day there seems to be more people waking up and being outraged by the horrid behavior of the BFEE and how they are systematically dismantling this country piece by piece. Social Security, no jobs, no health care, illegal and unpopular wars, skyrocketing deficits, damn near worthless dollar, the middle class paying more for everything and having less to spend on essentials, all the while carrying the tax burden for everyone, while the wealthy and big corporations not only pay no taxes, but get huge tax refunds and credits to which they haven't even paid into in the first place, raping the government, public education, stealing from the treasury and state coffers. I could go on, but Tommy likes to keep these rants short. And I can't help but wonder, what's it going to take to turn the tide from pissed off complacency to actionable outrage? Will an unnecessary, overpriced inaugural this week, which is more like a coronation, be the final straw? Will it be when every family has lost a loved one from this horrible quagmire? Will it be another attack when we've spread our already overtaxed military too thin that they can no longer protect us? Or will everyone finally wake up when they are forced onto the streets from financial ruin? Perhaps the current ongoing PR war on France is by design. Many of the examples I just listed are the reasons the French Revolution began, but then they had less people in charge. What we have now is a collective of idiots in Washington who are so out of touch with reality, I am amazed they find their way in and out of bed. We can't fight back with our vote anymore. They took that from us. So what's next? Our elected representatives are a bunch of scared sheep. Does anyone in this country even have the energy or inclination to do anything? Why isn't anyone on the right outraged by these lies that have cost thousands of lives and injuries on a daily basis? Oh yeah, they're brainwashed into the cult. Or are we all too simple-minded and stuck with a media that strives to keep the majority of the populace ignorant and in the dark until the rest of the world finally has had enough with the bully on the playground and decides to rid the world of this cancer that has become America? I'm open to ideas. Anyone? Anyone? Bueller? Bueller? I'm Tally, and that's all for this week. This has been La Perspective Femme.
On last Tuesday's page, I did a little hypothetical. We call it a what-if in Oklahoma. And I guess you could say it's part of the old Bart Cop quiz. I never had the old Bart Cop quiz written down, but it was like 8 or 10 questions that just put you in a box to where there was no way out. The only way out would be to agree with me, and I'll give you a really fast one. Who picks the prayer? Well, first of all, if the teacher picks the prayer, then we're all going to be praying to whatever the teacher is praying to. And what if the teacher's Jewish, and the teacher tells you Jesus isn't God? Now you got trouble in the schools, don't you? So you can't have the teacher pick the prayer. And you figure you can't have the state pick the prayer, because, again, it's going to be the same problem. The state's going to pick whatever George Bush says they have to pray to, and all our kids are forced to be in Bush's religion. That's no good. And you can't rotate the prayer, because, you know, Billy in the third row, he's from Oklahoma. His family's a snake handler, so he's bringing a rattlesnake to school because it's his turn to lead the prayer. You can't have that. You might have some Iranian kid or some Sunni or Shiite kid in there. You know, his religion is kill the great Satan. We must kill all the Americans. Now, you can't have a religion like that going around a school, can you? So when you ask someone who picks the prayer, they're just in a box. The only way they can get out of that box is to say, let's not have a prayer. Why don't we teach them arithmetic and reading and writing, and we'll let the parents and the churches teach the religion. Now, see, that's one of these boxes. Okay, we got another one here. This is from Tuesday's page. What if a school district or a Catholic parish or a county or a state, you decide, I'm flexible, did a 3-year study on teen sexual practices and teenage pregnancy. What if this biosphere, the school, the city, whatever, distributed condoms far and wide? Condoms are everywhere, free and available, no questions asked, they're everywhere. They keep them in bowls in the halls where you can just walk in and out of a classroom, grab a handful of condoms, stick them in your pocket. And say, 3 years later, the overall teen pregnancy rate in that biosphere went down significantly, let's say 20%. Okay, so here's a question. After the condoms were introduced, the pregnancy rate went down by 20%. Is that a good thing or a bad thing? So what you have here is 20% fewer teenage pregnancies. Would you, as a conservative, vote to continue the 20% reduction in teen pregnancy? Or would you, as a conservative, vote your preacher instead of your logic and condemn hundreds or thousands of teenage girls to unwanted pregnancy? I say that's a pretty good question. It puts the guy in a box. The guy's either got to agree that condoms are a good thing. Now, again, it's a hypothetical. It's a what if. And we can never test that because they won't allow it. The conservatives would take their clothes off, set their hair on fire, and jump off tall buildings if condoms were available in schools. They just couldn't possibly get through the day if they thought that was happening. Well, the good old Republicans have raised the ante. They've doubled the bet on us. A little something I cut out of USA Today. Groups criticize justice rape guidelines. And, you know, anytime you talk about rape, such a horribly traumatic emotional topic, and you got to keep your head when you're dealing with topics like that. Advocacy groups, including the American Civil Liberties Union and Planned Parenthood, criticize the new Justice Department guidelines for treating rape victims because the detailed procedures make no mention of emergency contraception as an option that could spare some women an unwanted pregnancy. The result is a glaring omission in an otherwise thorough document, the group said in a letter to Diane Stewart, director of the Justice Department's Office of Violence Against Women. Justice Department spokesman Eric Collins said Stewart's office had received a letter and would review its contents carefully. More than 93,000 rapes were reported in the United States last year, according to the FBI. So you figure, what, 1 out of 5 or 1 out of 10 rapes even get reported? So that's, we'll call it 1 million rapes. Okay, but the big thing here, they don't want you to know about the morning after pill. Can you believe that? The Republicans want you to have your rapist baby. They want to force you to have your rapist baby. And to use their boogeyman, when Willie Horton comes over to the house and rapes your wife and your daughter, and statistically it would be tough for them both to get pregnant, but if that happened, how do you feel about your wife and your daughter having a baby with Willie Horton, who's an evil black man? Now think about that. They're all for getting governments off your back, is what they say. But here they won't give you the option to terminate a pregnancy that was forced on you by Willie Horton. So you're going to grow up with Willie Horton's stepson or half-son in your family. Well, I'm sorry, two of them, because your wife's pregnant and your daughter's pregnant. How in the world are you going to live with yourself? Your daughter and your wife, every day the rest of their lives, can be reminded that they were attacked. Probably knifed to their throat, maybe beaten up badly, maybe horribly humiliated and mistreated during the attack. And they get to relive that every day, forever and ever, because George Bush doesn't want you to have the options that your doctor is trying to offer you. They say they want less government. They are lying. They want to force their crazy superstitions on you at gunpoint. As the Republicans take more and more control of Washington, D.C., they're writing these laws. They're changing America, forcing Willie Horton's baby on you when you didn't want that to happen. But thanks to George Bush and his evil insanities. You're going to have Willie Horton's baby. How does it make you feel?
Some people say that I'm a bad guy. They may be right. They may be right. But it's not as if I don't try. I just fuck up, try as I might. But I can change, I can change. I can learn to keep my promises, I swear it. I'll open up my heart and I will share it. Any minute now I will be born again. It's not my fault that I'm so evil. It's society. Society. You see, my parents were sometimes abusive, and it made a prick of me. But I can change, I can change. I can learn to keep my promises, I know it. I'll open up my heart and I will show it. Any minute now I will be born again.
But what if you never change? What if you remain a sandy little butthole?
Don't be such a twit. Mother Teresa won't have shit on me. Just watch me change. Here I go. Mother Teresa won't have shit on me. Just watch me change. Here I go.
Have you ever heard of Judith Regan? Maybe it's Regan. She's a big hotshot Republican book publisher. We know she's got her own show on Fox. You hear she got caught. Now, isn't it just awful when one of them hypocritical sons of bitches gets caught? Headline I'm reading from the Oklahoma Observer. Frosty Troy came up lately. Frosty Troy, he's one of those guys, they used to have him on the radio, they don't anymore because he's not pro-Bush, and we can't allow anything like that on the airwaves in Oklahoma. What are you, crazy? But they used to give him like 90 seconds on, the news hour kind of, they throw him in with Paul Harvey, that kind of thing. But we can't have any of that because he's not Sieg Heil with the Führer. So here's a headline in the Oklahoma Observer. More family values from Bush's fans. Here's another name to add to the hypocrite wall of fame, a.k.a. It's Okay If You're a Republican. Publisher Judith Regan, a big league Republican, said this in a Fox News appearance. Well, I think that the social fabric of this country has become completely unraveled. I think the sexual revolution had a lot to do with that. I think that we are in terrible shape. I think we have a country where half the kids are being raised by single mothers. A lot of that has to do with male behavior. We look at the men in this country who do not want to be accountable to their wives, who do not want to be accountable to their children, and we have as a president a man who could be a symbol of everything that is good. He could be a wonderful husband. He could be a wonderful father. He is in a position of great authority to show this country and to lead this country in a way that is much more important than economically. So apparently she was taking a shot at Clinton because Clinton wasn't perfect. Judith Regan is now making headlines in New York. Former Republican New York Police Commissioner and close personal friend of Rudy, Bernard Kerik, picked by Bush as Director of Homeland Security, conducted two extramarital affairs simultaneously using a secret Battery Park city apartment. For the passionate liaisons, the New York Daily News has reported. The first relationship spanning nearly a decade was with City Correction Officer Jeanette Pinero. The second was with famed publishing titan Judith Regan. His affair with Regan, the stunningly attractive head of her own book publishing company, lasted almost a year. Will this story make Fox News, where the little slut did all her social pronouncements, where she decided that America was bad because Bill Clinton... I guess Bill Clinton made her do this. She didn't want to do it, but when Clinton did it, that gave her the green light. Now she had to. And this Bernard Kerik, boy, they say this guy's a handful. We're not getting much of that in Oklahoma, but apparently he's mobbed up. He's mobbed up, and not only was he doing his wife, but two girlfriends on the side. That's a juggling act. Boy, he could have been on the old Ed Sullivan show. How do you juggle three women at the same time? Isn't this amazing that a person like her, she's out screwing some guy who's not her husband, who's got a wife at home, and another girlfriend on the side. Why couldn't she just leave well enough alone? It just is crazy the way the more guilty you are, the more likely you are to set yourself up as Mr. or Miss Little Perfect. Laura Schlesinger's got that problem with a camera between her legs. Bill Bennett's out in Vegas in his underwear gambling $7 million away, giving $7 million to the Bellagio. Then you got Russ the Vulgar Pig Boy, a man, a way of life, a legend. For some reason, Rush said, remember, that you could trust your kids with him in, overnight in a Motel 6? With his heroin? My God, what's wrong with these people? When the Democrats get caught, they get caught with a girl. When the Republicans get caught, it's either a hooker or a little boy. What's wrong with them? And instead of saying, people make mistakes, we're all human, we try to rise above our temptations and make better of ourselves. No. They say, it's the liberals that do all that. We're perfect. It's the liberals. Liberals are destroying America. And they go on and on with it. Newt Gingrich is another one. That 94 Congress came in office because we had to do something to stop the liberals. And the whole time he's doing the secretary, and the press protected him. I won't ever forgive him for that. In show 165, I'm going to mention Newt Gingrich and his little whore he had on the side, whore number three. Gee, Newt, and you're the moral arbiter of our country. Or you were until finally you got caught. And then they replaced you with Bob Livingston, and then he got caught. He had a dominatrix making him suck her boots. You guys are the weird ones. This gets back to the Catholic priest. If you don't have a normal sex life, those weird sexual urges are going to come out in the strangest ways ever. Democrats have sex with their wives, or at least women. Republicans like to have sex with the Constitution and with kids. Republicans are just bad.
Interesting. So I'm into ideas. This is my thing because you know, you've got to be if you're dealing with this. And people who are philosophers, they write ideas down on how they think the world works, and you can pick and choose. As if I could. Religions I have more of a problem with. I'm not a religious person because they all tend to be exclusionist in a way. I mean, there's about four or five big ones, and each one tends to say we are the main religion. By the way, and all you guys know, so you got it wrong. And the next one along says, ours. We got the thing upstairs, and no. So they, you know, it doesn't tend to bring the whole world together. So I like world ideas. I also think if you institutionalize an idea, it can go wrong. Well, that's when it probably starts going wrong. Like Mr. Jesus of the Christ family. Oh, the Christ. Oh, the great carpentry, everything. And but he wasn't writing things down when he was preaching. He wasn't going, the meek shall inherit the earth. Oh, get that down. That's a cracker. That's a chapter heading, that one, yeah. He just spoke his stuff, and then he was killed by the Romans, and then 300 years later, the Gospels are written by Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, who are friends of Mary, Mungo, and Midge. Well, no, I still have a problem with these names. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, they're English. These English people, I mean, you know, this is Galilee, Judea. You know, you've got names like Judas and Jesus and Elijah, something like that, but Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Yes, it's our friend Jeremy, that's Sebastian, and Kenneth. We're all from Galilee. Yeah, so there was actually a disciple called Zebedee.
Yeah.
And all the disciples had people named after them in Christian countries, but not Zebedee. There was one Zebedee, and then about 2,000 years later, a thing on a spring with a big moustache. Because Zebedee was a disciple who had really weird ideas. He came up with the chocolate eggs idea, being given out by bunny rabbits at Easter, you know. Fucking hell, Zeb, what are you on, man? Well, chocolate eggs are good. We can put things inside them, you know. This is Galilee. They're going to melt. That's true, yeah. I never thought this had lots of fridges. But in the medieval period, Christian religion moved into monks and monasteries, and everyone had to wear brown. Brown was the fashion. It was about 200 years of fucking brown. That's why the monks mumbled. These are going to go, oh, it's brown again, brown. Spring fashion is still brown. Autumn brown, fucking brown. Because you had two looks, hood up or hood down. That was it. Hood up for mysterious. Hood down for surprise. It's me. Wish you had a big afro underneath. Fuck it out. And they would get out, they would dance to Gregorian chants. You know, which really never kicks in as music, does it? So, and also they would copy the Bible from Greek into Latin, and the first letter of each alphabet would be huge and ornate, and because that's the way they used to read the Bible in the old days. They used to go, when Jesus came out, to wake people up.
You are listening to Bart Cop Radio at bartcop.com. Keeper of the Democratic Jewels.
Well, there you had it. Show number 65. Put together in 3 afternoons. Sure wish there was a way I could cut that down. If I could do a show in like 3-4 hours, boy, I'll tell you, we could be cranking them out. But it's just so hard to do. I am still, after 65 shows, still such a monkey that every time I say something, I got to go back and fix everything. And it takes so long. Anyway, you don't want to hear excuses. You want results. So I better get to work on show 66. I'd like to appreciate everybody who is listening to this, because if you're hearing this, you're probably a subscriber, or you could be a hacker. You could be stealing this. You know something else? I'm going to be honest with you. You know, I've always been not a fan of Napster, but I understand that when you release a product, it's gone. And to threaten people with jail or to sue them because they traded a song, that is just not right. And so I expect someone to say, well, Bart, what would you do if someone took your radio shows and made copies and sent them to their friends? I'd say, well, okay, that's all right. I got more. Tomorrow there's going to be another newspaper come. My Yahoo mailbox is going to fill up again. There'll be more stories. I don't mind if someone, now I'm not asking everybody to unsubscribe. I'm just saying, if someone gets a free copy, I'm okay with that. I'm not even wealthy like Lars. But I'm sure not going to threaten anybody or put someone in jail if someone makes a copy of my shows and gives it to a friend. I'm big enough, I can take it. So, I'm back to work, working on show 66. Thanks to your subscribers. Thanks for your readers. Thanks to those who drop the occasional check in the mail. Makes all the difference in the world. Thanks. This is Bart in Oklahoma. I'm out of here.